Money FM 89.3, best of weekends. International News Review.
Mr. Okun, good morning.
Good morning, GVZ, and great to be back with the full complement of the Weekend Warriors.
Oh, it is the dream team, isn't it? It's just unbelievable.
You see, Steve's a little bit more appreciative. You've just been taking pot shots at me the whole morning.
He didn't have a choice, you know. Usually he said he prefers coming in on Sunday.
No, he didn't. He said this off camera to me.
But, you know, today he's coming in on Saturday. He's making the best of it. He's a professional. I get that.
And he wants bigger viewing figures.
All right, Steve. First of all, Steve, have you had your jabs yet?
I've had them both. I am fully jabbed.
Now, did you have any issues, any problems after either one of them?
Not really. The second one, a tiny bit more. You know, I was a little bit tired, but then I'm always a little bit tired. So who knows if it was from the jab?
you've been tired for about three or four years now, I think. All right, Steve, let's get going right away. Biden's 100 days are up, and in the U.S., this is a big, always a big occasion for the media to look and pundits to look at the administration, the incoming administration. What's our report card looking like so far for Joe Biden and his team?
Well, in terms of this speech, and I think we talk about this a little bit later, I was surprised at how much of an international focus there was. Usually, you know, this is a president's first address ever to a joint session of Congress. Is much more domestic focused. It's much more talking to the American public. But this had a lot of foreign policy implications to it. So I thought I was a little bit pleasantly surprised by that. But he's got a lot to talk about those first 100 days. It's all about the shots in the arm and the dollars in the pockets that he has been able to do when it comes to COVID and COVID relief. But look, the first 100 days in a way were the easy part. Now we get into the really tough part.
And Steve, you're referring to the speech that he gave 2 days ago to a joint session of Congress, which was not a State of the Union address, but just an address to Congress, right?
Correct. Yeah, no. So the State of the Union is early January, typically. So Donald Trump would have given the last State of the Union address. And then for this year, it's traditional that the incoming president gets a chance to address both the House and the Senate at the same time, a primetime address to the American people. So that's what this speech was. And it was really Joe Biden laying out his vision for his presidency as he and his administration, along with, you know, Vice President Harris, come into office.
Now, Steve, when Joe Biden took office, he essentially outlined the four major significant crises that the U.S. are facing. You mentioned one there, the COVID pandemic, the climate crisis, the economy, you mentioned dollars in the pocket, and racial inequality. I mean, we can go through those individually, but we'll just start with the climate change one, because although he's brought the U.S. back into the Paris Agreement, I'm just looking at some of the figures here. The 2020 production gap report finds that global fossil fuel production will have to decline 6% every year through 2030. It's currently on track to increase by 2% annually. So the climate change thing, yes, he's reconfirmed his commitment to the Paris Agreement, but there's some skepticism about climate change, isn't there?
There's a lot of skepticism, not just about climate change. And Joe Biden, you know, said that in his speech. He said he hears from foreign leaders, that they tell him, well, we see America is back, but for how long? Can we trust you, the United States? Because if you want to look about climate, you know, you were in the Kyoto Agreement, then you were out of the Kyoto Agreement, then you're in the Paris Agreement, then you're out of the Paris Agreement. Now you're back in the Paris Agreement. Who's not to say that Donald Trump doesn't get reelected as president, you know, 3.5 or, you know, 4 years from now, or a Trump-like person, and you leave Paris again. So can we trust America? Is America back? So that's the one question. And then the second issue, which was really a big part of this speech, was unless the U.S. puts its money where its mouth is, it can't achieve those climate goals. It doesn't matter if you come back to Paris, but the Congress doesn't allocate the funds to do the necessary transformation of the U.S. economy when it comes, to having green vehicles, when it comes to having renewable energy. And so that American jobs plan, which Joe Biden talked about, it's $2.5 trillion. It's about the climate. But you'll notice it's not called the climate plan. It's called the jobs plan. because you're only going to sell this in the United States if you can tie clean energy, green energy to jobs. And that's what he tried to do during his speech, you know, our Thursday morning.
Talking to Steve Okun, the senior advisor at McClarty Associates on our international news review, now happening on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. Steve, when he gave that speech, the American Families Plan, as he's calling it, you talked about the big spending and all of that. And some of the pundits that I've listened to and the New York Times Daily podcast had a great segment on this just after his speech, talked about how he's got to get this speech was really about getting and keeping his Democratic base on board. He's got to keep all of his seats in the Senate with him on things like climate change and jobs and everything else. And so this speech really was, in many ways, I think, pushed toward working Americans, of course, but also giving cover to his Democratic colleagues in Congress. What's your take on that?
But his definition of bipartisanship is not that we have to get Republican votes in the House, in the Senate, is that we have to get Republicans and independents in the public to support this. And in the COVID relief package, which didn't get a single, you know, Republican vote in the Senate, you still have 65% of Americans favoring it. So it's a little bit of bipartisanship, but broadening out the definition. The second thing is you've got two aspects of what he's trying to get through the Congress. The first is the American Jobs Plan. That's infrastructure tied. The second is the American Families Plan, right? And the American Family Plan is about education, and it's about tax credits for childcare and the like. That's only going to get passed probably with Democratic votes in the House, in the Senate, through a process called reconciliation. Infrastructure, however, can get passed by both Democrats and Republicans. So he's going to do infrastructure first, may split infrastructure in half, do the hard infrastructure first, you know, roads and airports and seaports, and get Republican votes there, and then do part two, the human infrastructure, the softer infrastructure. Yep. You do that vote second. So there's a lot of politics that are going to play out, a lot of messaging that's going to play out. That's what I was saying. You know, the first 100 days, in a way, was the easy part. Now we're going to get into the tough part. And it's important the United States do this domestically for the planet and for international relations to show the U.S. is back.
Yeah, the point about the U.S. being back, I watched some of the speech, and there was definitely an element of an internationalist feel. We are one, we're coming back into the fold, that kind of thing. Mm. Which brings us to Myanmar. And also maybe America's role in Myanmar. As we know, the ASEAN leaders met this week. The jury is still out about how much of a consensus has really been agreed to in the meeting this week. They have agreed on a ceasefire, a cessation of violence in Myanmar. But even then, there have been casualties since the meeting of ASEAN leaders this week. Where do you see that one going?
Well, I'm going to tie it broader to APEC, and then we'll tie it down into ASEAN. So, well, one of the ways the U.S. can show leadership that it's going to remain engaged is to host the APEC meeting in 2023. There is no host for APEC right now in 2023. So if the U.S. steps up and says, we're going to host APEC, we're going to bring everybody, all the 21 economies of APEC, to the United States, like we did last in Hawaii, I think it was in 2011, we can take that leadership role and not be on the sidelines and not cede the leadership to China, who could take the host if the U.S. doesn't. Because the U.S. is going to not be coming back to the regional integration like TPP. And the U.S. at any time soon, because of domestic politics around trade and labor. So it's going to have to find other ways to engage. And one of the critical issues we have now is Neil, you mentioned, is Myanmar. When Glenn and I talked about this on Sunday, you know, ASEAN had its meeting with Myanmar, and we said, well, you could look at this ASEAN summit as being the glass half full or the glass half empty. We kind of looked at it as half full. Now I think we would all look at it as half empty, because those 5 points that ASEAN called on for Myanmar to do, an immediate cessation of violence. Well, we've seen that hasn't happened. They called on for a constructive dialogue amongst all parties. We've seen that hasn't happened. They said we want a visit by a special envoy. Well, the the general in Myanmar saying, well, you know, that's a suggestion. That's not a requirement. And we'll give it consideration later. So I've gone from half full to half empty. It was kind of a toss up last week.
Well, and we discussed this last Sunday, Steve. You know, there were these 5 points, but there was no timeline, there was no path forward to how these things get implemented. And look, we've seen this over decades and decades with despots and military dictators. They all do this to buy time. There's no discernible, you know, you've got to do this by X date. And so they don't do it. You know?
And to add to that point, Steve, there was no agreement, I believe, on the political prisoners and how they should be treated.
Exactly.
Of course, Aung San Suu Kyi is currently detained by the military. So there's not even a consensus on what to do with Aung San Suu Kyi and a democratically elected leader.
Well, Neil, supposedly that was supposed to be the sixth point, was release of political prisoners. And that got taken out by ASEAN. So they even watered it down and said, let's just get a cessation of violence, let's have a constructive dialogue, and let's get a special envoy there. None of that has happened. And now the question is, you know, at least we had ASEAN on the record saying we want to see these 5 things happen. You know, ASEAN is an association, is a grouping. None of it has happened in the first week, and the generals are walking back from it. So I think, you know, ASEAN is going to have to step up. And if ASEAN doesn't step up, you're going to have to see leadership from, you know, Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia, because that's where it's going to have to come from on this.
Well, the challenge is,
and we're not there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Steve. The challenge from my perspective is this isn't about politics. It's about people. In the meantime, people are dying. People are being detained. People are being tortured. People are being raped. You know, it is just it's a horrific situation that has gone on since the 1st of February. And, you know, congratulations to the leaders for meeting. That was good, meeting with the general last Sunday. But come on, there's got to be some action here while people are in harm's way. And there just doesn't seem to be.
And the question is, are you going to start seeing some activism coming up in
already
the
have.
Region?
Yeah, there's already a, have, right?
Not well. Not I, well. Not 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 a lot. I don't think yet. You're
sorry,
not seeing like
internally with the local groups that have been, of course, fighting the Tatmadaw, the military for years anyway already, right? But they I think are stepping up.
There's the civil disobedience movement, the CDM.
In Myanmar,
yes.
I'm saying, are you going to start seeing that in ASEAN outside of Myanmar put pressure onto Myanmar? Because I don't know if people are going to say, well, look, ASEAN tried. The governments are trying. They're not making any improvement. We see people still dying. We have a military coup. We are teetering towards civil war, failed state. I mean, that is an option of what could happen. And are people just going to sit by and watch this? And so you've got the U.S. putting sanctions on. They're trying to put the sanctions on the military, and so you still get the aid to the people who need it. But what's going to happen with businesses? You got oil and gas there. You've got a lot of financial investors there. So far, they're trying to walk that fine line between don't do business with the military, but do business with the people. Is that going to hold?
Well, that's the point, Steve. We mentioned this last week. There's a lot of investment in Myanmar. There's many, many businesses, Singaporean businesses in Myanmar. Sometimes it comes to when it hits you in the pocket, as you mentioned before, with Joe Biden appealing to the white working classes of America. Similarly here, if it starts to have an impact economically, at what point does the international community get involved if the ASEAN region can't reach a consensus? You mentioned the Americans there, some of the other major powers. What do you see happening more broadly with the international community?
Well, you have no consensus really within ASEAN. And I mean, and that is clearly the way you're going to make the most significant change, because if its own neighbors come in to the general say, you have got to release the prisoners, you've got to get back to some form of representative democracy, which is what the former government was, and you have a government in exile now. So I think people are saying, look, the real solution best can come from within ASEAN, and still hopeful that can happen. But you have the EU and the US are going to be looking at it one way. You're going to have Russia and China looking at it another way. And you have India, which has a lot of concern, you know, being right there as well. So there's no easy answer here. And then, Neil, the question is, are the broader stakeholders going to start to get involved? Are consumers going to start to get involved? Are investors going to start to get involved? You see, you know, those types of sanctions and boycotts against you know, companies like sourcing, you know, cotton from Xinjiang. But are you going to start to see this with Myanmar? So it's a very volatile situation. And you know, I'm hopeful that what started a week ago continues, but it's not a good week.
Yeah. All right, Steve, leave us with something to smile about. What do you got? Anything?
I was going to say, Steve, I must tell you, in this studio, the only international news story that's got my colleague excited is Lady Gaga's dogs. He's become an expert on Lady Gaga's dogs. I don't know why, but he has.
Her French bulldogs were dog-napped, and they've been returned. I think that's a good story.
The world sleeps peacefully now.
Well, you know, it was like three or four dogs. Anytime somebody's animal goes missing and they find it again, I think that's a good thing.
Screenwriting rule number one. If you want to make someone a villain, have them hurt a dog.
Yeah.
That's it. Yes. Kill the dog. Well. Have you got anything on that, Steve?
The question you put in the Facebook chat, you know, with May the 4th coming up, it's Empire for me, Neil. It's Empire.
The nice. Empire Strikes Back, which nice. Some would say was acted out in the last 4 years, but and now we're in a Return of the Jedi phase, perhaps.
Steve,
but thanks. The question is, are we going to come back?
Revenge of the Sith, yes.
Thanks for being with us today, Steve. As always, very informative and a pleasure to have you with us.
Great to be back with both of you again.
International News Review. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.